Welcome to the Code to Catch Up podcast. My name is Jamie Jones. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Foundation for Emails 2. Now, before I get into it, I want to go back and give a little bit of history around Foundation. Some people may not have heard of Foundation. If you're working in the front end, you most definitely will have, or if you're new to the front end, maybe not much. But essentially, Foundation started off as a CSS framework from a company called Zurb. And you can kind of look at it as a competitor, say Bootstrap. But they did things a bit differently. When I first started using Foundation quite a while ago now, I'm trying to think how many years, but it's because it's been around for quite a while. It started out as kind of like this bridge between a mock-up wireframey looking style in like a dynamic format. So you could actually use it to kind of take your mock-ups from paper onto the screen, so without going to any digital version of a mock-up program, and actually have it there in the browser working. So then you can then take those basic like structure and how everything's laid out, but with minimal styling, be able to show the client and then get their feedback in terms of, you know, the hierarchy and stuff like that in a working environment, as well as it being 100% responsive. So you can actually see what's happening and how it's going to all work, which is really, really nice. The other thing was they made this framework really with cutting edge responsive functionality. For back then, at least when they initially started, they were absolutely killing it with the responsive functionality with the CSS framework. It outweighed Bootstrap by a long shot. It was a new kid on the block. Adoption was rising pretty quickly, and it really just shone. Like, they were really innovative in everything they wanted to do with a responsive kind of CSS framework. Mainly because it came from a company that did a lot of actual work. So this was stuff that was happening in production in the real world. It wasn't kind of hypothesized. It was come from actual problems in the real world, and they were solved quite well. And over time, they eventually transitioned to a new naming or a new branding for it called Foundation for Sites, and then they also released Foundation for Apps. Now, these are two separate things, but sort of the same. So they're both CSS frameworks, or you could just call them generic frameworks now. But one was built for like JavaScript-y web apps and included a lot of Angular stuff. And then your Foundation for Sites is more for your marketing sites. But what was included with those was a CLI tool that allowed you to then compile the SAS versions down. It does a bunch of stuff for you with the latest Foundation 6 for sites. It did a lot of things for you, so it set up browser sync and all that kind of stuff. It did quite a lot and got you going, so you could start creating these static mock-ups and then take that static mock-up into a more high-fidelity design with all your bells and whistles, and then eventually you can then take that on and put it into, say, WordPress, Rails, Drupal, whatever, and make that nice. And during that time they had, which they launched in 2013, a product called Ink. And this was kind of like a bunch of templates and a workflow for creating HTML emails. So you could sort of see it as a framework. But then they've kind of taken it a bit further now. So it's 2016 now, and as of the article that I'm basing this episode off, March 23rd is when they released Foundation for Emails 2. So to give you an idea, I'll just give you a little spiel. They're saying, it's time. Foundation for Emails 2, the successor to Ink, has landed ashore. When Ink first launched in 2013, it made HTML email development suck less by giving developers a full responsive grid and a set of components that work right in any email client, even Outlook. And I can attest to it, it works amazingly across all the email providers. It really smashed it out of the park. They continue on by saying, Ink was the first product to take email best practices and create a framework out of them. Since then, companies of all shapes and sizes, Airbnb, Vice, Express, the Golden State Warriors, have been using Ink to easily produce great email campaigns. Now with Foundation for Emails 2, we're streamlining email development workflow even more. So it really is a pretty monumental change for Ink, or should I say Foundation for Emails, because it really is taking things that have been brought into Foundation for Sites into Ink. So you've got a CLI tool that will do a lot of stuff for you. So to kind of explain how that works, I'll run through parts of this article, but I recommend checking it out. I have a link in the show notes. So what's new? So they're saying, we've put a lot of work into making Foundation for Emails feel familiar to the millions of designers and developers who already use Foundation for Sites, whether it's building with the grid, using SAS variables, or developing in our Zurb template-inspired email developer, you'll feel right at home. So one of the big key points here, which is really going to be hugely productive for anyone who already uses Foundation for Sites, the SAS variables are all the same, so everything feels pretty much very familiar. It doesn't feel alien. You're not trying to learn something new because in terms of the styling, it's all generally the same. Now, there will be some extra variables in here which relate to the emails that aren't in for sites, for example, but it just brings that barrier for entry a lot lower. If you're new to Foundation for Emails or in general, this is going to be a big game changer for you if you haven't done anything with an email framework that uses SAS. It just makes it really easy to theme. So the next thing, which I'm kind of bundling these two together, is a full email development workflow. And this is to do in two things. It's to do with their CLI tool, their actual markup, and then I suppose the third one that you could say, the stuff that the CLI tool does underneath. So they're saying that when Foundation for Sites 6 launched, we unveiled the Zurb template, an all-in-one workflow for making static sites. This is their CLI tool that allows you to do a lot of things. It does all the compilation, everything that you kind of need without having to go set it all up manually yourself. It's just there for you. So saying we've done the same for HTML emails now with the Zurb email stack. So write HTML and SAS, compress images, and inline emails all in one starter template. So I'll continue on here. Inky, a simpler way to write HTML emails. Ink streamlined the process of writing HTML code for emails, but you still had all of those tables to deal with. Who needs them? The Zurb email stack includes Inky, a new templating language that converts simple HTML tags like row and columns into full table syntax. So with this tool, the CLI tool, it allows you to essentially write some XML markup. So this is very similar if you've used React, you have your own elements, if you've used XML, or in HTML, how you might have things like, say, header and aside. They've got their own tags there. They've got container, row, and columns. And this abstracts away of the pain of writing tables and making sure that you've got the right number of TDs and TRs and everything's nested right. It just gets painful. If you've spent any time developing HTML emails, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just absolutely painful. Now with this, you can write a lot simpler, a lot less markup to get the desired result. On top of that, it'll do all your SAS processing into normal CSS. It compresses all the images and it inlines all your styles. So if you're not too familiar with HTML emails, it's really important that you inline your styles. So that's basically you write your CSS maybe in a separate file or in the head of the document, and what happens is you need to then inline those styles so it's attached to all the elements. This is because of browser support, and it's painful, and normally you'd go out and use a different tool out there. There's a bunch of them that will inline for you, but this essentially will just do it all for you in one nice little package. So to kind of summarize this, Foundation for Emails 2, just like when they first released Foundation, it really is pretty groundbreaking and, as I said, very monumental. It's a huge shift. So if you are developing any kind of HTML emails, I highly recommend you check this out. If you've never actually looked at Ink, I recommend just diving in and having a look because it really works quite well. You know, you do have other options like blueprints from MailChimp, but it's not the same. This is kind of like an all-in-one-place stop for anything you need to do with HTML emails. As I said, it is a framework, and it's really important that we try and get the most of out of our time. And doing that, it really means we shouldn't be working as much as we need to. You should, as I've said in previous podcast episodes, you should be trying to follow the 80-20 rule. So, you know, you get 80% done from 20% output. So this kind of allows you to do that to a point. I mean, you still have to do some work to get your email looking how you want it to look, but out of the box using their email template and using the CLI client, you'll be able to get a lot of work done that you'd normally have to do manually, as well as you getting the productivity gains from using SaaS and things like that. So I'd love to know what you use currently. Have you actually looked at Foundation for Emails 2? It's been out for a while. Since when this episode is airing, or when you're listening to it now, it's probably going to be out for a couple of weeks. I'd love to know if you've actually used it. Have you tried in production, anything like that? I'd love to know if it's made a huge difference to your workflow, anything like that. Also, is there any other tools that you actually use in the real world that are kind of comparative to this? I don't know anything else that does anything like this at such a low level, allowing you complete flexibility. But I'd love to know if there is any other tools out there. But that's essentially it from this episode. If you have any comments, questions, anything like that, you can send a tweet through to CodeCatchUp on Twitter. You can send an email through to CodeCatchUp@gmail.com. You can leave a comment on CodeCatchUp.com for this episode. And also, if you're enjoying the podcast and you have a spare few moments, I'd really appreciate it if you can give a rating or review in iTunes. It helps me a lot, as well as it helps with some visibility into the podcast for anyone else who might find it interesting. But other than that, I hope you're enjoying the series so far, on our way to 100 podcast episodes, and hopefully I'll be having you listen in at number 100, which hopefully won't be too far away now. So anyway, we'll catch you in the next episode.